be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back after a brief break. And joining us on the phone line, she is no stranger to this program, we have State Treasurer Deb Goldberg. Treasurer, how are you this evening?
Kevin, how are you?
Pretty good. I have, and just so you know, my co-host Joe Rossi is hanging in the room as well.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you, Treasurer?
I'm good. I'm very good. I'm particularly happy that I didn't have to wear a coat today.
I took mine off halfway through the day. I was excited.
I wasn't familiar with what that sensation was like, but and I did have to take a picture in my backyard at the mound of snow that still exists on April 6th.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable.
I had to send it to all my friends who just, I mean, I don't mean a little teeny pile. I mean a mound of snow.
Wow.
I could send it to you if you want me to text it to you.
Sure, why not? I'll add it to my. I love pictures myself personally. Well, so, I'm looking forward to our conversation. I know we have you for a couple of minutes. It's kind of odd that one of our conversations is in regards to an advisory committee that you've put together on wage equality, because on the front page of one of the local newspapers says study local women lag behind in wages.
Isn't it amazing?
In this day and age, too.
Really?
You know? Talk to me about putting together this committee, and I believe you've got Boston Mayor Martin Walsh who's going to be serving as the honorary chair.
Absolutely, because Marty, as you know, was elected a year ago, November. So he's, from the time he got elected, he recognized that there was a wage equality gap in Boston, and I think that there were folks who helped educate him on that, and some of them are serving also on my wage equality task force. I've been a proponent of how you actually eliminate the wage gap and why it's so important beyond just the actual fairness of it is because it also has an economic impact on our whole state. You know, I was talking to a group of young high school students, women, who are excelling in science and technology at Natick High School today, and I was telling them how I was going to work on issues to make sure that when they are in the workforce, that they are paid exactly what men doing in the field are also being paid. But I also explained to them why it's good for all of us, that this isn't just a man's issue, I mean a woman's issue, it is a family issue. And it's because if you're paid what you're worth, what do people do? They spend, and they create a more robust economy. And so it's good for everyone. And in today's world, it is really amazing to discover that many women are not paid in the same job the same as some men.
Well, according to the little smaller headline, it says the state of Massachusetts is third overall in the nation for women's wages, but they still make 80% of what men earn.
And think about how we are lean towards a more highly educated populace, because the areas where you can get jobs in Massachusetts are in healthcare, financial services, the hospitals and universities. And those salaries tend to bring wages up. In general, across the country, women are earning 77 cents on the dollar. Actually, Massachusetts, we've looked at a more recent survey that shows that we are at 82. But women like me are what pulls it upward. I mean, think about it. I went to both Boston College Law School and Harvard Business School, and so I'm at the very high level of education and am a professional. But there are an awful lot of people, and in particular more so in different groups, African-American women are paid 62 cents on the dollar, Latino women 50 cents on the dollar, and that hurts their families, and it hurts our economy.
Treasurer Joe Rossi here. Was there any, you know, you hear these numbers and they are kind of shocking, but I mean, what is the reason? I guess there's two questions. What are the reasons that the study may have cited in this? I mean, other than the fact that, well, I don't really know why this would be happening, but I guess the reasons and your goals to try to remediate the issue.
Well, there are a lot of reasons. Some of them are long-term societal, culturally, had they been sustained over time. And some of them are, for example, are in the Latino culture, for example, women are not used, if they're sitting across the table from a male HR person, they A, are happy to even have a job, and B, it's not their custom to put that kind of, to advocate on their behalf. But regardless of what your cultural background is, the way in which to change that, and we are doing that in the treasurer's office and developing programs to help others do that, is we are both looking at job descriptions and how people are moved into one job or another. We are making sure that no matter what the sex of a person who's applying for a job, that salaries are based upon the job, not the, you know, with the same qualifications. We're creating a toolkit for businesses who want to enact equal pay, and we are organizing roundtables between businesses and government on how we take a step forward to support creating the equal playing field. As I said, I went to Harvard Business School, and women and men come out of Harvard Business School, or they come out of undergraduate school, starting at the same salary. And over time, that discrepancy grows. And it does come from sometimes women not knowing how to advocate for themselves, and men just being better at it. But that doesn't mean that women shouldn't be trained. And that's one of the things we're going to be doing, is empowering women to empower themselves. That it's okay to ask for a raise, that you don't have to be afraid that you might get fired if you ask for a raise, that there are ways to ask for a raise without it being perceived as a negative in your relationship with your boss. Those kind of things. And we want to teach people how to do that, how to start off with negotiating skills from the very beginning, and then also how you do it as you advance.
Again, we are speaking with the state treasurer, Deb Goldberg. I guess the last thing I'll ask you on that, how often are you expecting to hear back from the Advisory Committee on Wage Equality?
Well, first of all, I want to tell that Evelyn Murphy, who has become the our former lieutenant governor,
mm-hmm.
she is the national expert on this, and she's actually helped other government entities throughout the country institute wage equality and train others within their communities. And so she is our advisor of the entire group. We intend to do a lot of things remotely. As I don't know if you've noticed the names of people who are involved in our task force.
Oh, yeah.
We have, you know, Congressman Catherine Clark. We have Catherine D'Amato from the Greater Boston Food Bank. Dr. Carrie Healy,
yep.
President of Babson College. Dr. Jeff Leiden, who from Vertex Pharmaceuticals. And Jim Roosevelt from Tufts Health Plan, just to name a few. Steve Tolman, President of AFL-CIO. Mm-hmm. These are all very, very busy people. So we will be taking advantage of modern technology and doing conference calling, and we will be working with them individually on assessing best practices that they are aware of and bouncing off what the tools that we're developing with them. And we intend in within a year of all of the research that we're doing and the partnerships that we're building to have an event that everyone will participate in, and we will come out with our findings and our recommendations. The statewide conference will probably be on Equal Pay Day in April 2016, and we will be sharing all of the best practices that will have evolved over the past year with businesses and government and the nonprofit world here in Massachusetts. And, you know, I think everyone is on the same page about equal pay today. You know, it's been the law for a very, very long time. It's just, how do you identify it? How do you empower people so they can empower themselves? And how do you institute it in your organization? Our toolkit will be have different models for different types of organizations, from government, the nonprofit world, and in the private sector.
Okay. Treasurer, I guess I would ask you, I see you did something unique for the kickoff of Financial Literacy Month, and that is launching a Twitter handle for the Office of Economic Empowerment. Talk to me about that.
Well, we did something actually kind of unusual by creating the Office of Economic Empowerment. Mm-hmm. On the first day that I was sworn in with a deputy treasurer, which elevates it to a very important role in the treasurer's office. What you'll find interesting is that I belong to the National Association of State Treasurers, and it is a bipartisan group of treasurers. We're Democrats and Republicans, but we actually all are working on these issues, and the Republican treasurer of Tennessee has asked for the job description of our deputy treasurer of the Office of Economic Empowerment and to share with him the kind of programs we're doing there. And so with financial literacy, wage equality, college affordability, we're incorporating all of these into that office because I believe so strongly that we must provide the tools for people so that they can have economic stability and economic security. Starting young, teaching saving skills, providing programming around college affordability and college savings, because that debt burden is what crushes so many different people. This is all incorporated in our Office of Economic Empowerment. And, of course, naturally, we're taking advantage of social media because that's where people are at right now.
And what exactly is that Twitter handle? So if folks want to follow it, then they'll be able to get tips.
That is the Twitter we have, Matt.
I can actually help you.
Oh, good.
At Empowerment MA.
Thank you.
At Empowerment MA, where you can get updates on the Office of Economic Empowerment Initiatives, share news, facts, and tips for students, families, veterans, and seniors.
I have to admit, I'm a Facebook fiend, but I'm not personally as good at Twitter.
Well, it's very tough to put how you feel in 140 characters. It's not easy.
Well, that's why I like, in fact, even when my staff put something on Facebook, I edit it. I really do. I'm such a pain.
It's all good. Hey, the final thing I want to have you talk on just for a moment, and that is naming Sue Perez to lead the debt department. Talk to me about that real quick.
Sue Perez is a rock star. She has been leading the Clean Water Trust, which I don't know if you're familiar with that.
We are.
And it is, for those folks out there who don't know, it is actually the way that we work with local communities on funding green, clean water infrastructure. I know I live in a community with really old infrastructure, so having access to the kind of funding that will help rebuild it is not only good for the environment, but it is good for, it's a public health issue. In particular, a lot of the clean water issues are very big down in the Cape Cod region, which I would assume your radio show reaches down towards.
Correct.
But Sue, we were, you know, Colin McNaught, who is running our debt department, has been an outstanding member of the debt area, and he, in fact, really led on creating the level of transparency that Massachusetts has become renowned for. He's decided to move on to the private sector, which, you know, does happen in government. It's You get a period of time and people who are really committed to public service, but there are times for the change occurs, and we are so fortunate to have someone with the background and the experience that Sue Perez has and the passion to do the job. She is a consummate professional, and I'm excited to have a woman moving into that role. We, as far back as we can see, there has not been a woman leading debt, and including clean water in that department. We can't say it never has happened, but there isn't anyone with the institutional memory to know whether a another woman has led that area in the treasurer's office. So I won't claim it's the first, but it's the first in a long time.
Well, and here's one other little thing that I think she's probably the first. I believe that she will be the first to also have a black belt degree in karate and also be a commissioner of the Foxborough Housing Authority.
That's right.
So nobody's going to mess with her.
No, and no one would met. Have you met Sue Perez?
I have not, but I'm sure that she's a great woman.
She's a great woman, and you wouldn't mess with her either.
No, absolutely not. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you on, you know, every so often, you know, maybe once a quarter, just to kind of update us.
I've been happy to be a regular on your show.
Well, we'll
definitely. A lot of good folks down in the South Shore. I think the first time we talked, I mentioned to you you remember that my family and I came from Stop and Shop.
Yep.
And the folks that first started working for us in South Boston, a lot of them moved first to Quincy and Weymouth, then Rockland and Plymouth, then the Cape. So a lot of, when I traveled up and down that part of the state, amazing amount of people walked up to me and said, I started as a cashier in the Pembroke Stop and Shop, or my dad was a meat manager, and it was great to see all those people. And my parents still shop at the Pembroke Stop and Shop, so there you go.
Absolutely. Well, listen, you enjoy your evening, and we'll definitely look forward to talking to you real soon.
I thank you both. It's good to talk to you.
Have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
State Treasurer Deb Goldberg joining us. Good conversation, Joe.
That was great. That was excellent. She certainly has her mind and office wrapped around the issues here in Massachusetts when it comes to the Treasury.
And you was not aware that Sue Perez had a black belt, did you?
No. But you know now. Well, I know. And you wouldn't, but it doesn't take much of a person to take you down, Kevin.
Yeah, okay, Joe. Whatever.